drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in.
If you want to experience the sound of Australian music in the late 1980s, Boom Crash Opera's These Here Are Crazy Times is a pretty great place to start. Theatrical rock vocals, busy guitars, snare drums drenched in reverb and horn section. It is all there. Released in October 1989, it became a top 10 album that helped get Boom Crash Opera into America. Last year, for their 30th anniversary, the band got back together to tour the country. I caught up with the founding guitarist, Peter Farnan, and the original frontman, Dale Ryder, for a chat and, well, a laugh too, of course. While the coronavirus continues, we are going to delve into our library and try and find a fun drawing room from last year for you to play on Friday nights to help bring some cheer into your life. And we thought we'd start with these guys from Boom Crash Opera because These Here Are Crazy Times just about sums up what's going on in the world right now. It was your second album and the one that really helped you break through, though. Take us back to that time, Peter.
Well, it was extremely difficult record to make. In fact, look, I don't have a nostalgia for the 80s that a lot of people have.
A lot of people do have
it. Oh, God.
Why?
I know Fran Kelly loves the
80s. Well, if Fran Kelly loves the 80s, I like the 80s too.
Well, I found it an awful decade to make music in.
And no.
There was a stifling sort of conformity, and we... You could comment on this maybe, Dale. Like, there was enormous amount of sort of corporate pressure on us.
Well, they were paying the bills, you know, so.
And they were enormous bills because they expected every, you know, they there was too much money going around.
Investment.
And we started making this record and it wasn't working with the producer. And so that went on for a month and then he was removed. And then we sort of laboured through this record with money trickling through from America. The song Dancing in the Storm was recorded on a day when you and Spock, the keyboard player, were so depressed with how it was going that you sat in the foyer. Can you remember this?
Yep.
Well, tell me what happened in that foyer.
I'm very lazy. I've got no work ethic whatsoever. So you're asking me. So when they were recording, I was in the back playing PlayStation or something.
But you were depressed that day.
I was depressed because he just wasn't getting the sonics of what the band was about.
It's this enormous song about overcoming adversity, and it felt like we weren't overcoming the adversity. So the actual rhythm track for the song had me kind of shouting where we were in the song, so the drummer knew where we were, and we just kind of made the arrangement up on the spot. And then we started putting overdubs on it, and it sprung to life, and then we realised, oh, we've actually got something here.
Funny that. I have much fonder memories of doing the album.
Stick to the fonder memories, right?
I'm a big fan of
rewriting history to make yourself feel happy.
Let's rewrite it. I was very happy in those days. I don't remember them, but I was very happy.
Dale, do you feel nostalgic about the 80s, or do you have the same?
I have no nostalgia whatsoever. I've been singing since then, so it's not like I'm going back to singing again. I've been singing with different bands, doing some of our songs with other bands, did a bit of theatre, and I've pretty much been working. This has been my living for the last 30 years, so there's no nostalgia. There's a bit of melancholy every now and again when because we've got to do some new songs, some of the old songs of the album, but otherwise, no, it's just like my job, you know. Never felt nostalgic.
We are in a continuum here. Yeah. Even though we are excavating or exhuming old songs.
It is a continuum.
It is a continuum. And it's a life in music. It's a job. So you just keep going.
You know, not to sort of over egg it, but that's a privilege too. I mean, so many people want to make their life music and can't.
Yeah. Yeah. There is the model, you get increasingly famous and you live affluently. And then there's just, you make a living and you raise a family. And that's kind of what we've done. And that is a privilege too, that we are very lucky to be able to do that.
So what is it about the album that made you want to come back and front the band again?
They asked me and I came back. Pretty much that was it. Getting sick of doing what I was doing, and they gave me an opportunity to come back and sing some of these songs again. And I went, I'd like to.
Elaborate approach, or was it just like
nothing sinister, nothing. It was just sweetness, really. It was just... come and sing some songs with us, Dale, and, you know, the new singer can't do it. And I thought about it for about 5 minutes and went, yep, I'd like to do this. And then we started rehearsing and it was like I hadn't left. It just feels like home to me, you know.
Was that your experience of it too, that it felt like no time had passed?
The whole band experience, well, there are two metaphors. One is family, so it is brotherhood. We're all incredibly different, but we are attached. We are welded together because of the shared experience. The other one, without making light of return service people, being in a rock band is a bit of a war of attrition, and so it does feel like we kind of went through the wars together.
And that no one else quite gets it. No one else gets it. On band camp, right?
Yeah, that's it. No one else gets what it was like to be, you know, driving across the hay plain at 4 a.m. for the umpteenth time with all of you having the flu because you had to get from Adelaide to Coolangatta for the next show. That's what the 80s were like, Patricia.
Lots of flus and long drives.
Yep, that's
Sounds
it.
A bit like 2019. Boom Crash Opera kept going with your blessing, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Andrew De Silva of Australia's Got Talent fame jumped into the lead vocals in 2016. Are you feeling refreshed after some time away? I mean, you were doing other work. Like, you're still singing,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, I guess I feel a little new. No, I just feel like I'm back in some old shoes, and Andrew took his shoes with him, and I've got pulled my old ones out. It's not like I'm stepping in his shoes. I suggested Andrew De Silva. I said, look, there's a really, really talented boy here. Get him. Although I would have preferred Ange from Frantic. Like, a girl would have been cool. Don't you reckon?
Well, I do.
You know, I actually put that to them. I go, wouldn't it be great to get a chick?
We thought of it. We did cast around.
More diversity in some of those bands. Not so much quotas, but yeah.
When we started, we actually tried to get a female in the band.
Who did you ask?
You were there at the rehearsal. There was a woman who came in and played a deck seven.
He can't remember that time.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, yes, you were.
When I was leaving.
No, I'm talking about back in the 80s when we were forming the band, before Scott came along.
Who's going to remember that?
Well, it's a very blokey sound we make,
yes.
Admittedly.
Yes.
Before we developed the sound, we thought, well, it would be good, but it just never happened. And, of course, when Dale left, we did actually cast around. And thought, could we? Would we?
And what made you decide ultimately then that you couldn't or you
because
wouldn't?
Because we had to find somebody. And so there were a few people we talked to and all that stuff went on. And then Andrew was a natural fit.
Mm.
Andrew had played in Dale's band.
We were in a band together for about 10 years. It was great.
Right.
I didn't go and see him live because I felt a little weird, awkward. But
you thought about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
and then why did you decide? I'm so fascinated.
Well, I don't
want
to, you know, if I was going to go there, I would have gone up to the front and go, play horses.
or turn up with, you know, some sort of mask or disguise, like a spy.
I just let him do his thing, you know.
I'm Patricia Carvelis, and this is The Drawing Room, and you're listening to the interview I did with Peter Farnan and Dale Ryder from Boom Crash Opera late last year, just before the band embarked on its tour of the country to celebrate the release of their very successful album, These Here Are Crazy Times. And being a band, they played a song for us.
We're going to play the song I talked about a few minutes ago, Dancing in the Storm.
I was so depressed about.
Yeah, that one.
But we're not going to feel sad.
Apparently.
No, we're happy.
I don't remember that.
And why this one? I mean, you could have chosen anything.
I thought it would be appropriate for the drawing room. That's what I thought, you know, rather than... And it's with one guitar and Dale, you know, it's a bit hard to reproduce the enormous...
Big blokey sound.
The big blokey sound.
Big bloke. Do you like how I did that?
Yeah, I like that.
Let's hear it. This is Dancing in the Storm by Boom Crash Opera, performing live in the drawing room.
Lying in the dark, I know you are awake. I will not give in, I will not give in. Pulling faces and admitting not a thing. I will not give in, I will not give in. Lightning flashing, everything is sharp and clear. I can see you all, I can see you all. As the thunder roars, we're raising up a storm. We can shout it down. Gone are the days of complacency. Gone are the nights of indifference. Here we go for one more turn. We can shake the trees and earth. We can spin and not fall down. Hold on. Come on, wild you and I, going out and we're dancing in the storm. Mm-hmm. honestly, my foot was always in my mouth. Still the words came out, the words came out. Not the truth, but I have nothing to confess. Just a hint of doubt, a hint of doubt. Gone are the days of the sideways step. Gone are the nights with no partner. Here we go for one more turn. We can shake the trees and earth. We can spin and up or down. Hold on tight. We can both become unwound. You and I going out and we're dancing in the storm. Dancing in the storm.
And that was Dancing in the Storm by Boom Crash Opera, performed by my guests in the drawing room, Dale Ryder and Peter Farnan. Did it feel good?
I love the fact that I can still get to play music. Oh, God, this is going to sound terrible at this age.
No, what, for me, it was after doing all these songs with other bands, I really missed how we played these songs. I really missed Peter Farnan's guitar playing and Maz. I just missed, and I now realize what made us. It's great, and I'm not pissing in your pocket, but you guys really stonk it.
It's an enormously boisterous racket that we make, and it makes sense with Dale's, the timbre of Dale's voice too. I just feel lucky to still have this in my life.
It's obviously to have a successful band that is enduring like this. It's about fans, right? And their loyalty and the fact that they will show up.
Mm-hmm.
What is that relationship like? Do you think about that relationship?
Yeah, because they all have had kids now too.
Because so you're like, you're aging too.
Yeah, they're all coming up and it's, you know, we become a marker of their youth, but then they want to talk to you about their kids. And so we're all sort of, progressing through down the road of mortality together.
I concur. I don't really think about stuff like that. I don't know.
No?
It's all too deep for me.
I really do like how you want us to be. You're like, we're not going into the deep end of the pool, thank
you
very
much. Look, we'll play for you. We'll play some songs. Let's have some fun. Good. We'll have some fun. Have a few drinks.
No, but let's explore that. I'm going to now go deep on the shallow. And what I mean by that is, do we overthink things too much?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys getting up and playing some songs that we haven't played for a long time. Going to have some fun, basically.
My job in the band,
your
job in the
band's hard, though.
My job in the family is to overthink it.
And is that just... It comes naturally.
So you get this yin and yang thing. And
yeah,
he'll be going, can you just stop
absolutely.
Overthinking it? And I go, well, hang on, we need to think about that.
And you
that.
Also have this old married couple bromance dynamic, yeah, can I call yeah, it for yeah, what it is?
Yeah, and right? It goes, and it spreads out to the other people in the band and the people also who aren't playing with us anymore but are also in the family. So it is an extended family with all these connections.
And let me ask you something that's a bit deep end of the pool. Like any family, it gets more and more complex as the years roll on, right? There are layers, there are sometimes complexities to the different dynamics and relationships, maintaining those relationships, I'm not going to swear on air, but I want to, not upsetting people too much or managing expectations. Mm-hmm. How have you gone about that?
Well, having a break helped.
Since today, you mean? Well, it's easy for me because I was always the antagonist. So I just, if I want everyone to have a good time, I just stay quiet and... Don't drink red wine. It's real simple. Otherwise, there's trouble.
But at least you know that that is the way.
Yeah, and now it's, I think we're all grown up now. There's no pressure. We're not after world domination. We haven't got management harking at us.
How much does that change the way you perform when you don't feel that sort of pressure like you did in the 80s to make that sound?
You're in the moment a lot more, actually. Like, I used to not enjoy the gigs because each gig was just a step, it was always about the prize and the goal. And so I was very pushy. I was very, I would be angry if things weren't right. And now it's just, you're here for this show now. And as you put it well, Dale, it's not about chasing success because that's all in the past. So it really is just about playing now.
So you enjoy it more. Do you think that as a result, you're actually putting on a better show too?
I think we are. I think we are. There will be fans who will say, oh, I was at the Old Line in Adelaide or at the Palace down by Vincent Kilda. You killed it that night. But we put on a far more solid and committed show. I think if you spoke to Maz, our drummer, he's also got this sort of, I hate to bring the grimness of mortality back into it.
Just do it.
But that does sharpen things up a little bit. You know, Maz talks about, I want to keep playing as long as I can. He's amped up his playing in a way that maybe 8 or 10 years ago wasn't so much the case.
Don't let them talk you out of it. They'll have great fun.
I don't think he's talking me out of it. All right. I always ask my musical guests to pick a song that they love. What have you chosen?
I remember going to Rhinoceros in the 80s when the Machinations were recording this song called My Heart's on Fire.
Okay. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in.
No worries. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Patricia.
I love the yin and yang. I've had all of the emotional feelings here.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
Now let's listen to the track that they've picked for us. This is My Heart's on Fire by Machinations. Was My Heart's on Fire by Machinations. And that's it for RN Drive for tonight and this whole week. Thank you so much for your company tonight and every night that we hang out together. I love the time we spend together. And thank you to my executive producers, Emily Burke, and on Fridays, Joanna Carruthers. Join me again on Monday at 6 p.m. I will be here. You will be too, hopefully. Catch you then.